press in today. It's the Feast of Purim week. We're teaching and releasing revelation from the Feast of Purim, Esther story of saving a nation. And we're learning what it means for us today. We have got to fight. Our seasons of grace are lifting. And we have a moment in time where God says, press in and cry out. Speak out for the freedom of the people.
Finding my nerve, playing my part.
Is it a heart for others or is it a heart for ourselves? That was the Battle of Esther. Well, welcome. It's Wednesday. It is the 20th day of March 2024. We're in the middle of our teaching and our revelation on the Feast of Purim, learning from this story. Think about that. Do you want to press in for another people, or do you just want to save your own skin? And that was the story of Esther. She was challenged with that because she was going to try to hide her Jewishness, hide her identity and thinking that she's in the government of that place, of that nation, and thinking that they would protect her. But Mordecai, from a word of the Lord, obviously tells her that's not going to happen. Matter of fact, you'll lose your whole household. Can you imagine what would have happened had Esther been found out, and the decree was out there, and they were killing all the Jewish people, and they found out you're Jewish too? Look, I don't think the king would have had much mercy. You see that when in those times when a king made a decree, it was a decree. Look at Herod when he dances and the woman dances here and they ask for John the Baptist's head. Well, what happens? He didn't want to do it, but he had to. Pilate, I find no fault in Jesus. His wife says, look, I had a dream, have nothing to do with this man. But when a decree was made, they had to abide by it. So this is the thing. If we don't speak out, we're going to lose everything. That's the thing. The deception of the enemy is that he'll tell you that, you know, being quiet and hiding behind the scenes will protect you and your family. No, it will not. It will not. God will find a way, you know, to make sure that you do what you're called to do in this hour. So yesterday, I left off and we talked about we ended with the grace of God, how Israel had over 200 years recorded by its leaders who never rose up. People never rose up to deal with evil leaders. We're trying where we are. We're doing everything we know to stop these evil leaders. Problem is, we can't figure out who's evil and who's good because a lot of them we think are good end up being evil. But we're trying. We're doing our best here in America. I know many of you in the nations. I know South Africa, you guys go after it. Germany, you guys go after it. And we're trying, right? We're going after this fight. But Jesus has wants us to have this passion to hear wisdom, be willing, like that song says, to speak out, to go before the king. Who's our king? Jesus. I'm not going to go to my president and put my neck down and say, save my nation unless God tells me to. I'm going to my king. It says we enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. I have a pattern. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to give him thanks. And as I do, I have access to that place in the spirit where I can come before the king and say, Lord, give us our nation. Save our nation. Go into humility and brokenness, not just trying to save my own soul, my own family, my own possessions, but to save a people. And that's what Esther had to make a decision with, is what am I going to save? Just me or going to save everybody else? And she finally decided to save everybody else. It's just amazing the prophetic that Mordecai had that somebody else would come if she did not. And I want you to recognize this. I teach this all the time. Esther, because of that, somebody was going to save him. Esther had an opportunity to gain eternal reward. And that's the kicker. God was going to do it one way or another. It was time. The prophetic timeline had come to an end. It was a fullness of time moment, and so it had to occur. So many times when you choose not to be used, and you just said, well, I'll let somebody else, guess what happens? They get your eternal reward, and you miss yours. And so when you come before the Lord, and you get your crown, and you get your gifts, and you get your rewards, guess what happens? Missed opportunities will be given to somebody else. Think about that. And I'm not saying you'll be discouraged and mad, but because when you're in heaven, you'll be all deception will be removed and you'll rejoice that God's will was done. But the fact is that somebody else is carrying your mantle because you didn't speak out. We're going to speak out. I'm going to speak out. We're going to do this. Amen? Y'all with me? So 200 years. Let's pick up where we left off yesterday. You're going to have to listen to these in sequence this week. But 200 years are recorded this way. And then in Revelation 20:12, it says, and I saw the dead, the great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things that were written in the books according to their deeds. Romans 1 clearly tells us that all men will be without excuse. No one will be able to in hell will say, I don't deserve to be here. Nobody who loses reward before the Lord will be able to say, I didn't know I was supposed to speak out. One, he said, well, didn't your little pastor Tim tell you to speak out? Or your pastor or your leader or some apostolic leader, somebody tells you to speak out. The Bible tells you to speak out. On and on it goes, right? So don't think you're going to have an excuse. Well, I just didn't know what to say. Well, God will give you what to say, I promise you. Well, I don't have a big sphere of influence. What sphere of influence you have? Use it for His glory. Don't be arrogant, broken. Your passion, if your passion is to set the captives free, you'll say it in the right way. If you love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love, then you'll love your neighbors yourself. And your ministry, your words will not be of condemnation, but it'll be of conviction. It'll be of, Lord, I want to help these people, all right? Are you with me? So let's look at the patience of God. 200 years, and throughout these 200 years, God sends His word and His prophets to come back to Himself, and they heard the word. Verse 14 of that chapter says, and they would not listen. They remained the way they were. Okay, there's a whole thing about not listening and not obeying that word of the Lord. We're back in 2 Kings. I forgot to tell you where we were. And we're sharing 2 Kings 17. And so we go on. Let's keep reading our story here. And God was moved by this, and it provoked His anger in verse 17. Not in His nature to be angry. It is to be love, but they provoked Him, and God brings every evil to justice. Now think about that. God doesn't just like look around for opportunities to be angry, nor does any parent. You know, you don't want to be angry with your kids. You love those moments, those weeks, or that months, so that you're not having to be angry with your kids at all. But there's times when they just do something over and over again when they've been told not to, are told to do something they refuse to do, that you are provoked. And if you do it right, you'll be angry and sin not. And you deal with them, right? Because why? You want to bring justice. And you want them to do the right thing. Verse 18, it goes on and said, and He moves them out of their sight, out of the promised land. It's like, look, I got to get them out of here. Ungodly, unrighteous are outside of God's love. That's what it says in Revelation 22. And God wasn't like beating them down and torturing them. He was sending them to a place. Look, this is my land. It says that in Joel chapter 3. The land belongs to the Lord, and they were defiling it. The earth was groaning. The earth actually spewed them out. That's what will happen when a nation continues to sin. The nation, the ground, the actual soil, the actual land will spew them out. I imagine the soil around our nation, where we are in America, would like to spew a lot of people out. Look how we defile it, not just the way we treat the land, but the way we worship in the land. And all creation cries out for the sons of God to manifest. So guess what? The trees, the soil, everything in the air, everything cries out. All creation, animals, you name it, you're crying out for us to manifest. And when we don't, Creation says, get them out of here, God. They're not worshiping you. Jesus said, if you don't worship, the rocks will cry out. Okay? I'm not worshiping the land or nature. The word tells us in Romans 1 not to do that. We don't worship it that way, but we understand that the land wants that to happen. Look, when you walk by things in society or in the earth, nature, they're crying out for you to redeem the land. What God said the land was supposed to do. And Esther was put in a place to give Israel a hope to go back to the land and to redeem the land the way God created it to be. That's what you and I are called to be. I'm prophesying to Esthers that are listening to me today that you would do that. So God continues to work despite bad leaders. He does. We see that after 19 bad kings, right? There's 20 bad ones, but after 19, he keeps going after them and loving them. They are removed from the land and put into exile, as we find in the story of this Purim story that we're reading today or we're talking about today. Now, all that is left, basically, in the land is animals roaming, a few poor people. Who couldn't travel or whatever. The king of Assyria sends people from all over the kingdom of to Samaria. They face problems. Lions attack them, right? The king hears and realizes that regions are ruled by gods, so he figures that region must be ruled by the God of Israel, and he sends one Jewish priest back to teach the people the ways of God to stop this problem. And he tells the nations who God is. This is where we're starting to see the redemptive part of being in exile. Because the king wants, and he has a rule over a territory, the last thing he wants is a territory out of order. And sometimes a king doesn't care who's going to rule, just as long as it's in society, it's peaceful and it's doing well, right? Verse 28, so one of the priests whom they carried away into exile from Samaria came and lived in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. So they became confused because they were mixing worship with their gods and the God of Israel. And they became the Samaritans. Ah, remember them? When Jesus went to the woman, the Samaritan woman, this is where they came from, mixture. And Jesus said, I must go through Samaria, and he meets that woman. And she is confused in John 4 of where to worship God. He tells her that God is seeking those who worship him in spirit and in truth. He didn't focus on her sin, but on her worship. Godliness is the foundation of righteousness. He knew if she loved God, she would walk in righteousness. 24:12 Matthew. Because lawlessness is increased, the love of most become, or people will grow cold. That's why you can't expect people who don't know nor love God to walk in righteousness willingly. You can't. You understand that? We see later in Judah and Josiah comes and brings righteousness. But the word says in Chronicles that he made the people follow the ways of the Lord. That's why they fall after he died. He tried to make them to do this thing. Okay, you can't make people walk in righteousness. Now, you can put laws. I'm a big believer in that. You put laws in place that are standards, but you can't make people do that. And when you're a strong king, yeah, you can demand it. But the fact is, if they don't love the Lord their God with all their heart, all their soul, and all their mind, then what's going to happen? They'll not love their neighbors themselves. And so as soon as the law is removed, the king, in a sense, they go back to their lower nature and start fighting each other. And we see this in that story. In 2 Chronicles 34, 33, Josiah removed all the abominations from the lands belonging to the sons of Israel, and he made all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God. You come to know God first, then your life changes. Godliness first, then righteousness. God sent Jesus to save us from sin. Okay, we're almost done with this story. So now we're getting into the place of redemption, of what God's going to try to do is redeem our nations, redeem our lives from the sin. Now we know the end time. We know the end of the story. But what we have to do is make sure our story is heralded in heaven, and it's a sweet fragrance to God that we fought for righteousness and godliness, and that we knew we couldn't have them both without each other. We had to have them both, godliness and righteousness. So this is our cry today. I hope this is really helping you and telling you kind of where we are in time. It's an important moment in time. Be faithful to be that voice in the earth. God, I thank you for the people that are listening to this podcast today, that are Esthers and Mordecais, and Lord, that the spirit of Haman would be hung on his own gallows today. We speak that in the name of Yeshua.
What a
amen and amen. We love each and every one. You come back tomorrow and we'll finish this. Get ready for the feast this weekend. God bless. See you. Well, thanks for listening each and every day here on our daily podcast. We are talking about the Feast of Purim. So join us this Sunday, the 24th, either live or you can watch us online and catch this revelation. We have a special service planned for both our children and our adults. We're excited about that. Thank you for sowing. We're fighting the fight, and we're on the field right now. As you listen to this, we're in Japan. Thank you for supporting us. We bless you. We'll see you again next week. God bless. Love you guys.